You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Rebeller Sports.
4 seconds left.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to RBR Lightning. As always, well, really, I shouldn't say as always because I've been gone for the past 2 weeks, but my name is Jake Ricker. Alongside me is Jose Mataro and Matt Gannon. Guys, thanks for holding down the fort. How was the last couple episodes here in the offseason?
Arguably the smoothest that we've had in a long time.
I walked myself into that one. That's fair.
Fair enough. You did. Good to have you back. I don't mind hosting now and again, but you keep us moving, keep us on track. So it's nice to just sit in the passenger seat and let you do the hard miles.
You keep us grounded, Jake. We appreciate having you back. You know, I love having the Holy Trinity here. It might be blasphemous calling us the Holy Trinity, but I love having all three of us here.
Hey, I do too. It's always fun when the full crew is here and ready to go. But hey, you know, it may be the middle of the off season, but we are getting closer and closer to hockey season. How do I know that? No, not just because of the Lightning countdown posts that have been going on. We are officially, 53 days away from hockey season. But also, according to Gabby Shirley, she posted on her social media platforms, they are officially making preparations to put the ice back in Amalie Arena. That is one of the most exciting things you can see on Twitter right now. That the ice is going back in. That's how you know we are really, truly getting very close to getting back into the next hockey season, where guys will start getting there for training camps and for preseason, and the regular season will be here just before you know it. I don't know about you guys, but there's nothing that gets me more excited about hearing about ice going back into Amalie here as we get set to go for the season.
You know, I was coming into the start of the show, I was feeling a little sluggish, and then, we had that intro music that we hadn't heard before in the waiting that got me all sorts of hyped up. So between that and the fresh ice that's going in, if you guys haven't heard some of the intro music that we do, the Eureka, our producer, basically bangs out a fresh track every time that we go live, and that one was a fun one.
I like my play on it, Bolts on Parade, I think Eureka is calling. Yeah. Trying to say it was a Rage Against the Machine, doesn't like the AI version of it. I got to give myself a pat on the back for that. A couple of years ago, a buddy of mine, he's an electrician, he was working on one of the chillers for the ice at Amalie Arena. He said, I can ruin your whole year by just turning this lever off right here. And I was like, please, please don't do that. He's like, nah, I like my job more than I like messing with you. So,
yeah, Eureka, someone needs to take the AI tools away from him. He just goes a little bit too crazy sometimes at this man. But we have fun here for those intro videos as we get set to go here. But we do have a couple of things to talk about, news related, as we still sit here in the midst of the offseason waiting for everything to get underway. And probably the biggest headline that ran around, definitely got a lot of reaction from people, was the news of the new evaluation for the Tampa Bay Lightning, as Jeff Vinnick has entered a multi-stage selling process, is the words that they use, of the Tampa Bay Lightning, the team valued at $2 billion. Yes, billion with a B. So a massive, massive, massive evaluation for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Now, a lot of people freaked out, because as we all know, Jeff Vinnick is by far the best owner in sports, especially when you sit here and look at other teams here in Tampa Bay, and you look at someone like the Rays, and then you see someone like Jeff Vinnick. It's like, man, we are so, so, so lucky. But people freaked out over that, wondering what was going on. I'll give a kind of quick overall rundown. Highly recommend reading the articles, though, because there's a lot of little things in here. No, Jeff Vinnick is not officially sold the team. As of right now, everything is going to stay the same for next year. The day-to-day operations are still going to continue as normal. This is a multi-stage selling process that could take a whole bunch of years. We don't know. There's no exact timeline on this right now. So it's not happening now. It may not happen for a couple of years. It could happen in 5. It could happen in 3. We don't exactly know. But he's in the process of selling it. And the team was valued at $2 billion. It is still expected to, even once he does sell the team, that he is still expected to take a large role as on the board for the Lightning. So he's not fully stepping away either. There's a lot of things going into this whole sale of the Lightning that is not happening yet, but may happen years down the road. And the purchaser is believed to be, I'm going to try and say his name right, but Doug Ostrover, a co-founder of CEO Blue Owl Capital, who I really don't know much about. I haven't looked into it too much. That's the general overall thing that is happening right now that was big in the news recently about Jeff Binnick potentially selling here in a little bit.
He's treated everybody really well. He's treated, you know, the from his employees to his players to people in the community, the stuff that he's built around town. I mean, you brought up the Rays, and to me, it's a pretty stark contrast between the two, where Jeff Vinnick poured his own money into Amalie Arena. The Rays have held basically the city of St. Pete hostage, trying to get a new facility built. And the vibes when you talk about, you know, the Rays ownership have never been a feel-good story. But with Vinnick, with all the charity work that he has done, he's completely revitalized downtown Tampa. He'll go down as like a Tampa great. They got to name streets after him, after all he's done for the city. Yeah, and I mean, he's going through a divorce, which is obviously not an easy thing to do. And he's been there and done that now with the Lightning. And, with him starting to get a bit older here, I don't blame him for trying to cash in a little bit on the success that he's had over his 14 years of ownership.
And like, not that there's been signs of it, but it was last year or the year before where he sold a good chunk of shares away too. You know, he's still the majority owner of the franchise, but maybe we could have seen this coming. And, you know, it sucks, you know, losing, you know, not only the best owner in the NHL, but arguably sports. I'll make that argument any day of the year. But at the same time, what an investment by him, you know, to buy. Does anybody know what he bought the franchise at, regardless of
it's
what it is?
Estimated ones between 170 and 180 million.
Oh, my God.
That's a darn good investment right there. No question about that.
It's really hard when you have your money that high. It's really hard to double it, but to make almost a tenfold return in that short of time is like, that's literally like Bill Gates style numbers.
Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to lose money on, you know, professional sports. Like if you're an owner, these franchises really do not, you know, go down in value. They might not grow exponentially, kind of like, you know, the Tampa Bay Lightning has, but you know, it's really, hard to make a bad investment in a professional sports team, at least like a major, you know, big four sports team or something like that.
And who knows, maybe he holds on to, there's nothing stating that he's going to completely liquidate all of his assets, all of his holdings. He might sell a majority stake and still hold on to a minority amount, or he, you know, might just sell off some of the minority, you know, a smaller percentage of the team and keep a bigger chunk. It was never really specified as they're doing this reorganization and what's going to transcribe or transpire here in the future.
So that's news to me, because I was kind of, you know, sounding the doomsday alarm. I thought he was just completely like cashed out. I'm done. I knew that he was going to, you know, stick around for a bit until, you know, the sale's completed and maybe even, you know, after that. So that's, good to hear.
Here's a couple of lines from the article, and that's what I was kind of trying to mention at the beginning before getting into this. But it basically says current owner Jeff Vinnick will retain full operational control of the organization for the next several years. So again, this is something that is not happening immediately. This is just an evaluation, probably something that got leaked probably a little earlier than the Lightning maybe wanted it to. But there will be no immediate change of ownership control and no change in day-to-day operations. And also, he will continue to have a significant ownership stake as part of the new group. So those three things right there should tell you that, yes, he is in the process of selling the team, and we don't know how many shares exactly, but he's still going to be a part of the Lightning. Basically, and you can kind of have seen this come over the last couple of years. I think we talked about this before when he sold some shares a while back. Vinnick, as you mentioned, Joe, is getting older. He wants to spend more time with his grandkids. It's not just been the Lightning that he's selling shares of and kind of taking more of a backseat role slowly and slowly over the next couple of years. So this has been writing on the wall. But again, I want to stress this. He has not sold the team. It doesn't look like it's going to happen for multiple years. This is going to be a long process. It's going to stink when Jeff Vinnick does fully step down and leave the team because that'll be some big, big shoes to fill. But again, this has not happened yet. This is still a long process. It's just nice for the Lightning to have this big evaluation because it makes them and Vinnick look very good.
And it should probably be mentioned that it looks like he still owns a minority. He's a minority owner in the Boston Red Sox. So, I mean, he's had that for quite a while since before he acquired the Lightning. So there's nothing to say right. That he wouldn't at least continue to be a minority owner.
Yeah, Daniel here says, sounds like he intends to sell minority shares since he's going to be part of the ownership. I believe, yeah, there's been no reports on exactly how many shares he's selling, or I think he would be selling more shares, like a bigger majority, just because they're having a new owner potentially come in. They've named that guy, but he's not leaving completely. That's the big takeaway here, and it's going to be a long process for that to happen. That those are the two biggest things to me, is that this is not like, hey, next year you're gonna have a new owner and Vinnick is gone. This is a long process, and he's still going to be a big part of this organization.
Yeah, it's hard enough, you know, to you know, buy and sell $3,000 cars sometimes. You know, I get a lot of complicated deals or boats or bikes, whatever it might be. I can only imagine how complicated and intricate, you know, a $2 billion, you know, in the realm of, you know, the $1 billion sale, something like that. It's got to be a lot of a...
You ever watch that TV show Ballers?
I can't say I have.
It was on HBO for a time, and there's in that where they're trying to buy a franchise, and just even the personalities involved when you get into bed with somebody where there's so much money at hand that, you know, you don't want to necessarily go into business with somebody that is going to treat your franchise like a fantasy team like we've seen in the past. So there's a lot to those deals beyond just the numbers. It's, you know, making sure you have good personalities around you too.
And I have maybe a dumb question. Was this like reported? Was this like in a publicized article or something? Or are these just like leaks? You're not.
There's a couple articles out there now at this point. The first one it came out was on Sportsnet from Elliot Friedman.
Okay. So, I trust Friedman.
Yeah, official stuff. It's not just rumor mill. This is, you know, big time reporters talking about it. By the way, the $2 billion valuation puts the Lightning, at least according to the last Forbes list, at tied for number four with the Los Angeles Kings, only the Montreal Canadiens, New York Rangers, and Toronto Maple Leafs ahead of them, and not by much. So the Leafs are at $2.8 billion on the latest Forbes one that I could find that I just pulled up here. So that's the big thing, you know, for me, is the evaluation. At the end of the day, I know a lot of people freaked out over this news because I think some people were concerned and thought that Vinnick was just going to be gone and it was going to be a quick process or something like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, this doesn't really change much. It will happen in maybe a couple of years down the road, but it's nice for the evaluation and it makes the franchise look good. But at the end of the day, it's nothing crazy. This is just business as usual right now as we continue to move on. Maybe years down the road, once it's back and it's gone. Yes. I mean, it's at the end of the day, this has changed nothing. Nothing is changing for next year.
It's not going to change anything in terms of day to day. It's not going to change anything in terms of the way the team runs or the product that's put on the ice. But what it does do is give us ammunition about, you know, towards all the haters that say that we're not a real hockey market, that we don't have a real franchise. All of the hard work that has gone in by the Vinnick Group, by the team, by the fans to support them, you now have a dollar amount that you can actually go back and show the receipts for and say, hey, yeah, we're more than just a joke. We're not someone like Arizona where it's no longer even a, you know, they're playing in a college rink. We have a real solid fan base here, and it's proven, and there's nothing that anyone could ever say to be able to say otherwise. It's a big deal for fans.
But the Stanley Cups and boat parades, I think, speak way more to how much of a great franchise we have than some evaluation put together by some big, you know, big Forbes people. I mean, it's an evaluation. They could have said that the evaluation was $1 billion, and that's still, you know, looking at the franchise and what they've actually done over the years and what Gnick has done, as we just talked about, that's a bigger deal to me than some number. That's why this news wasn't crazy to me. You know, it was crazy that, oh man, this is going to happen eventually down the road, it looks like, but at the sheer number, to me, it's more about the on-ice product and what the team does in and around the city and the organization more than what the number says.
And yeah, we have both of those things in our court right now. You know, we're a very successful franchise, you know, any way you slice it. So you've got it's great that that's in our favor. And you also have, you know, a $2 billion valuation that you can also hold over, 30 or 28 other franchises' heads. You know, I think it's really cool, you know, being in front of three original six franchises, you know, being behind the three biggest franchises, you know, in hockey, you know, in NHL, the Toronto Maple Leafs, Montreal Canadiens, and New York Rangers, or maybe it was Rangers Canadiens or something like that. But that's pretty cool. I love having bragging rights. And to me, that is absolutely bragging rights right there. Who knows? Yeah. And, you know, if you're, you know, 0.8 billion, you know, 800 million behind the Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, that's striking distance. But if it actually came to a sale of the Toronto Maple Leafs, I wonder what they'd be actually valued at if, you know, a buyer came that way, what that number would look like.
Would imagine it would be pretty darn big. And don't get me wrong, it's cool, it's very cool, but at the end of the, like, my point is, I don't think it's as big as news as some people made it out to be initially, because it's like, again, you know, I care more about the on-ice product, what's happening with the organization. That's the big thing. Joe, you're laughing over there. Look at you.
I'm laughing at Eureka, because he just put in our chat that he's bringing a big valuation signed to preseason.
You know what? Actually, that would be pretty funny to see someone show up with that sign. Damley Arena. That's good. Okay, I see. Let's see. Well, we got a comment. Couple comments here. I want to get to here. Beverly, all new players always so excited to come play for Tampa. For all mentioned reasons. Yeah, absolutely. This is. You know, I wonder if they. You know, I always said that the big pitch for the Lightning and free agency is. Great weather, jet skis, and Stanley Cups. Like, so did they add that to the free agency pitch now? Like, hey, come down and play for Tampa. It's a $2 billion organization, and then you add the jet skis, great weather, and Stanley Cups in there as well. Is that going to the pitch now for new free agents to come down?
And no state tax. Can't forget that.
And no state tax. Right. Yes. No, can't forget that. I mean, that's definitely
So, I mean, looking at the valuation, though, there's another Forbes list where it's showing the rankings of the most valuable sports teams. And NHL, obviously, is a smaller market. No matter how you slice it, you're not going to be able to beat any of them. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're not going to beat out the football teams or pretty much any of the, you know, bigger ones. But just to give kind of a reference, the Bucks for 2023 were valuated at $4.2 billion. The Bills, for that matter, are 3.7. So in terms of overall sports teams, that's still pretty respectable.
The Bills are valued less than the Bucks.
They might be more popular and louder as fans, but yeah.
See, this is my point. These valuations mean nothing. No, I'm kidding. These valuations are weird. I also don't know fully what they're – I believe it is based on the last sale, basically, of the team. So those numbers can vastly change, you know, if the team – like you were mentioning, Matt, right? Like if the Leafs got sold, how high would that next evaluation be, especially now that the Lightning have jumped up? So I don't know how that all exactly works, but –
And I have another possibly dumb question. Jake, you're a Packers fan. Aren't the Packers owned by, like, the city of Green Bay or something? They don't have, like, a sole owner or something like that?
Well, you know, you're kind of – they're owned by the fans. They're owned by the fans. I actually – it's not here in this apartment, but I have a little piece of paper that many people say I'm crazy for, but it says I'm an official owner of the Green Bay Packers. So, technically, I'm, like, one-tenth owner of the Green Bay Packers. So,
one-tenth owner?
No, well, I threw a number out there. It's like 0.0001 or something like that. I don't know what the exact number is.
So how
that's
does
cool,
that,
man. Like, I got I own part of the moon too. So I mean,
yeah,
I got a little plaque and everything that
there
says
you go.
It.
I mean, exactly. You know what? People give him a hard time, but listen, hey, it's a fun thing for fans and it raises money for the team. So why the heck not? Just like people buying stars or moon. It's fun. But yes, Matt, the Packers do not have a sole specific owner. I know you're trying to give me a hard time over there, Joe, just because I came back over here. Yeah,
you should see
it for a while, but
you should see Eureka in the comments. He's trying to give you a hard time. He said the Broncos own the Packers.
Preseason. Okay. That's so important there. Pretty sure the Bucks had a really bad recent preseason game against the Jaguars.
Yeah,
himself, so. Listen, but yes, the Packers do not have a sole owner. So very different. Hey, I'm part owner of the Packers. I still support the Bucks.
We're gonna have to kick Jake off the show again.
Oh boy.
Is he coming back? Let's see. We lost you for a minute. You got potato quality going on.
Am I back here? Am I good?
Yeah, you're sounding good. Looking even better.
Okay. Good. This Wi-Fi out here. I may be part of the big Packers multi-billion-dollar valuation, but I don't got the good Wi-Fi over here. I don't know. I don't get any of that money. I don't see any of that. But anyway, yeah, big news for the Lightning when it comes to the sale process. It will definitely be a bummer when Vinnick does step down. But the good news for Lightning fans is that is in the distant future right now. We do not have to worry about that, thankfully. Because I will not fully prepare for it. We just lost Steven Stamkos. Dang it, I can't lose another person in this Lightning organization. I can only deal with one at a time. Jeez.
Unless it's Jeff Blashill.
Unless it's Jeff. You know, that's interesting. We heard a lot of rumors about that, about him potentially going somewhere. I don't think I've heard anything as of late. Looks like he will be staying.
I'm pretty sure all the coaching vacancies have been filled by now. Nobody's really going to be hiring a coach, you know, weeks before training camp starts. So I think he's here to stay for at least this next year.
Well, hey, maybe with Ryan McDonough back in a full year under their belts in the new defensive system, things will get better. That's going to be the hope, at least for the Lightning here. But time will tell. Some other news, by the way, that the Lightning did announce recently is we do have some dates on theme nights, which is fun. So, you know, as we get closer and closer to the season, more stuff comes out. We're having another Gasparilla night, as always, which everybody can get excited about. January 18th, by the way, that game against
my
the
favorite.
Red Wings. What's that, Joe?
Oh, that's my favorite. Didn't have a clue on that at all.
Yeah, Gasparilla is the best, no question about it. But a lot of big things coming around for the Lightning. They have a pickleball night, by the way, which I found really interesting. I don't know what that's going to. Yes, a pickleball night. Let me find the date for it. Yeah, pickleball night.
They're
Thursday, October 17th against the Golden Knights. What is pickleball night? I have no idea, but I'm kind of interested to see what it is. So
it seems like a horrible excuse to bring stuff to throw on the night or throw on the ice.
I'm sure they won't let anybody in with. Well, maybe they. I don't know, but. The one thing I'll say about all these theme nights is I was looking through the list. You can check them out on the Lightning website. But the one thing I'm disappointed about is the NHL got rid of all the pregame jerseys. We're not going to have Gasparilla jerseys or pickleball jerseys, whatever that would be. What would pickleball jerseys look like? I'm into this now. But unfortunately, not going to have any jerseys for any of these theme nights, which is such a bummer. I'm sure they'll still release Gasparilla jerseys like they did last year and sell them to the public. Which, by the way, give me blue Gasparilla jerseys, please. But just a little bit of a bummer. There's always fun during pregame when you get to see the jerseys.
What can you even do with a pickleball night? I love pickleball as much as the next old guy, but like, what can you even do with that? Like something on the scoreboard? Like
my guess is maybe they'll have like some pregame activities where you can sign up and play pickleball or something like that with some Lightning alumni. I have no idea, but this is Matt. This is why I'm bringing it up. I was looking through the theme nights and I saw pickleball night. I'm like, what on earth is pickleball night?
But we still don't get a Star Wars night, do we?
Actually, you know what? I don't think I saw.
I didn't see one this time.
Damn. No Star Wars night.
I've been begging for that for years.
If they did one a few, while. Yeah.
But well, I really must have missed out.
You're saying that you don't think that they'd allow people to bring in pickleballs to throw on the ice. Could you imagine trying to pat people down to make sure that they weren't trying to smuggle them?
Oh,
like, sir, what are you looking for? They don't know what themed night it is. I couldn't stop laughing thinking about it ever since you, like, they wouldn't let people in with it. It's like, well, sounds like a lawsuit just waiting to happen if they actually tried to stop anyone.
Oh boy, Joe, why? Hey, why not? I don't know.
They're themed fun nights. Have fun with it.
Yeah, well, that's what they're for, and I'm very curious. Let us know, by the way, in the comments, any theme nights that you guys are excited for. I'd love to hear what you guys have to think.
Are there any other obscure ones on that list? I didn't see that come out, so. Like, ones that they haven't done in the past or anything. Like, pickleball, that really just stands out to me. I'm still just baffled at the whole thing.
So there's Halloween night, which is always fun to see people. Cool. Yeah, I mean, they do that every year. I don't know what Thanksgiving game is going to be where it's – I don't know how you really themed that one up, but I don't think it's
appropriate. I believe it's
to do
just
that
a game
anymore, right?
That's happening really close to Thanksgiving, if I'm not mistaken. Because there's also holiday game, which the NHL does not play on Christmas. So I think it's the games that are just close to the holiday, Christmas slash
two, three games.
Yeah, a couple of them.
There's a 90s night, which, man, I'm starting to feel old because like I remember growing up there was 70s night, and now we're all the way up to 90s night.
They've been doing 90s night for a while, haven't they? I think they did it last year.
They were doing the reverse. They did reverse retros last year, right?
Yeah, maybe it wasn't an official night, but like on the reverse retro nights, they did like 90s themed.
It was retro themed. You know, they had the digital score clock and all of that. You know, with I don't even know how you describe the, you know, alarm clock looking font and all that. And I actually really like the retro theme, but I assume it's probably going to be much of the same for the 90s night.
By the way, a comment here from Daniel again. Wouldn't surprise me if they do a pickleball tournament and entrance comes with tickets, kind of like the marathon they do. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking as well. Like some kind of pickleball thing early on before the game. Maybe there'll be some alumni or players involved, and then if you participate, you get a ticket too, or something like that.
Have you guys ever played?
I've actually been recently getting into it with a small group of mine. It's actually quite fun. I just don't love playing it in, you know, August. I might just wait till November for the next game. It's too hot.
That's the beautiful thing about playing hockey, baby. It's always 40 degrees inside the rink.
I do like pickleball, but I'm a bigger racquetball guy. That's my favorite sport to play right now. It's racquetball.
Indoors.
And that's indoors. You can play that indoors, so there's no heat. By the way, Daniel's absolutely right here. He said they had a pickleball tournament last season, the weekend they had more players into the Hall of Fame, and they did have alumni for that one. I remember them talking about that. So it's something they've done before, and I guess it was enough of a success that they were going to have a full themed night after it. So, by the way, Matt, you asked me if there are any other weird ones. I wouldn't call this one a weird one, but there is golf night on Tuesday, April 15th. Lightning Panthers. So, you know, that's another one. Like, I don't know.
We're the tackiest golf outfit you possibly can find.
Yeah. They're really pandering to the Florida snowbird crowd right now. Pickleball and golf night.
Yeah, pickleball. You know what? That's very true. Hey, you know what? Why not? If they're going to be here, why not make it work for yourself? This is listen. We didn't get to a $2 billion valuation out of nothing, right? You know, you got to have the best theme nights and everything. So,
not to encourage this other team, but when I think of a golf night at a hockey rink, all I can think of is Happy Gilmore playing in his Bruins jersey.
That would have been a good one to do it against. Although then you get two fans and Bruins.
Right, jerseys. That's the thing. It'd be too obnoxious. Yeah. But yeah, that would be a funny get up for it.
That absolutely would be. But hey, yeah, a couple of fun theme nights. Unfortunately, no fancy pregame jerseys, but I'm sure the Lightning will still have lots of different theme merchandise and all that stuff.
There's also a was it a teacher appreciation night?
That's cool.
What would you guys wear to that?
To a teacher appreciation night?
Yeah.
School Where are you going with this, Joe?
Skirt.
Matt? I didn't go anywhere with it. Matt's the one talking about wearing a schoolgirl School girl skirt.
We have gone way off. What have you guys been doing the last 2 weeks?
Man, it's August.
Ain't that true?
I would wear my Lightning jersey to answer your question. I don't know. What else would you wear to a – I mean, maybe, I don't know, you could have some fun with it with like a
– dunce hat.
Fancy – you know, those fancy socks where there's like one's a pencil, one's a piece of paper. Like, I don't know. I mean, you can do that. Well, did you have something in mind here, Joe?
It was a tee ball. I teed it up. I mean, Matt knocked it out of the park. That was where that was going.
Okay. Listen. I don't know what people are
well,
wearing.
Well, if you don't know what to wear and you need some gear, I have an idea.
Shop.rblrsports.com. There you go. The awesome team inspired merch that we get over there. Lightning, Bucks, Rays, Rowdies, you name it. You can check it over at shop.rblrsports.com. And for our awesome listeners, whether you're watching later or live right now like we are, you can use code BOLTS and get 10% off your order. Links, as always, are in the description. Highly recommend going and check those out as well. All right, Joe, I see what you were trying to do there. You led me on for a while there. But we got it. So,
no skirts available just yet.
No.
Pre-orders. Pre-orders only.
Okay. Yeah. You can tell this is the middle of the off-season, right? That we're – oh, boy. All right. So what else do we got to talk about today? I do want to mention, by the way, speaking of merchandise and jerseys, I was in Nashville these last couple of days moving my sister in. She's going to Belmont University up in Nashville. So we just moved her in, and I popped on over to the Predators arena trying to find Steven Stamkos so I could get him back and bring him back to Tampa. Fortunately, I did not find him. But anyway, I'm mentioning this because I went into the team store and I checked it out, and Steven Stamkos in a yellow jersey just looks so wrong. It looks so wrong. It brought tears to my eyes again. But anyway, they interesting thing, they have all of the ads on the jerseys that they're selling in the store. So if you go to buy a jersey in the store, you cannot buy a jersey without an ad, which I found really weird because I know we've talked about this before because of all the ads thing. Luckily, thankfully, the Lightning still do not have an ad on their jersey. Please don't do it. But we're still good for now. But I found it interesting that they had ads on the jerseys in the store. I don't know about you guys, but if I went to the Lightning store and there were ads on the jerseys, I'm not buying one.
Especially for like the new prices that they're going to be asking. Like, I think like the authentic, like, you know, play, not the game worn jerseys, but the jerseys that they would wear in a game, they're going to be close to, if not over $500 or something like that. Like,
those are going to be expensive. Yes.
That's ridiculous. That you there was not a single jersey in there without a jersey ad on it.
Every single one had an ad on it. I'm like, do you guys have any jerseys without ads on them? And they said no. Now I think online you can still order ones without an ad, but in the arena they all had ads on them.
I 100% agree with you guys. If you are a fan, you shouldn't have to be a walking billboard for the sponsor of the team. Or if you are, make sure that the sponsor is subsidizing some of the cost of those jerseys so you're not dropping $500. Right? I'd take a $40 discount to wear the jersey. But you know how that end up on the back end. They just hike the price by that much. Mm-hmm. Like the sales you see on Amazon for Black Friday or merchandise that they, it's been discounted $200, but they hiked the price by three. I'm really glad that Vinick has never had an initiative like that. And I have a feeling that under his ownership, we won't see something like that. Kind of hope and pray. But because it's going to be changing soon, could be worth 2.2 if you just put some ads on the jerseys. Come on, look for your monetization options, buddy. That's the way that that's what you go to consultants for, you know? As long as he's in the ownership group, you'd hope that that doesn't happen. Now with this new valuation, who knows? Maybe within the next 5 years, we'll see something like that.
That's what scares me, right? Like, again, the valuation, the news is whatever. But, like, the day Vinick really does step down and fully leave these new owners, what are they going to do? How are things going to look differently? The Lightning, I would expect Vinick would make sure he sells to the right people and they still keep doing what they've been doing. You don't just build a great organization and all this. The owner leaves. It's possible, but Yeah, I hope that does not happen because I'm very thankful to Vinick and not putting ads on the jerseys because, as you guys know, I am very, very, very against jersey ads. I hate them. I do not like them one bit. I have made that very clear on this podcast. So hopefully that continues. By the way, comment here from Daniel. Tampa has been looking for a jersey sponsor. They haven't found the right partnership. It's coming. You need to accept it. No, no, I do not need to accept it. I 100% disagree with you there, Daniel. Listen, it's why tarnish a great looking jersey? And again, I don't want to look at a picture of Kucherov hoisting the Stanley Cup and then seeing a giant Publix logo sitting there or whatever.
That's the only. Can we agree that's the best fit though?
Like Publix.
Publix.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
If you're gonna do it, well, see, the only thing with Publix though is their logo's green. Like, are you gonna slap
a white logo pee on there? You could do a white P on the blue jersey, on the away jerseys where it gets difficult. But you could also, you know, you could have two sponsors too. I think there's one or two, a couple teams in the league that have, you know, home and away sponsors too. So
everybody knows Publix, you know, it's not like it's like their branding would diminish because you drop the colors and go just for an all white.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the away jerseys then? Do you do a blue P? I could get behind a blue P. That would be fun.
I could. I don't want to see a doctor about that, but
okay.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you. My mind went juvenile right away too.
My job here is keeping the show on track. Oh boy. But yeah, no, Joe, I'm with you. If you have to do it, Publix does make sense because it's a big thing down south and here in Florida. And my other thing is at least make the colors work. Like I hate like the Penguins, for example, they're black and gold jerseys and you slap this stupid giant light blue jersey ad on there. It looks terrible. Like with the Washington Capitals, what they did, they at least had a jersey ad where the colors match, where it's white or red, depending on home and away, you know, and it's small. It at least blends in to the best of its ability. I still hate it, period. But at least it works. That's my big thing. If you slap a green Publix logo on there, I'm going to be furious.
Green traditionally doesn't match well with blue, just the way that, you know, color palettes work. Dan did just put in the chat the Amelie logo might look better, which is true because the way that red works with blue, just having it on there wouldn't be as intrusive as something that's green.
Maybe not as intrusive, but it would still pop in all the wrong ways.
Right.
Well, like,
if you have to have something on there, you know, I mean, it wouldn't be that large.
Have you seen some of these jersey ads? I wouldn't be surprised. Some of them are very, very large.
Yeah, there really is no like consistency with any of these ads across the league. Like some of them are using this loosely, like tasteful, and you know they work well. And some are just abhorrent and just a big old, you know, just awful looking patch on the jersey. So
well, I mean, we can at least with hockey, with NHL, we don't have what they have going on in Europe with. You know, Eureka could tell me which leagues, like Premier League and pretty much all the other leagues where whatever the team name is, you can't even find it on the jersey. You just see the sponsor on the front. And
it's so bad.
Okay. So Eureka put the crest is on your heart. That's the only spot that you actually see what the team is.
And it's on your heart.
Yeah. And for the rest of it, you know, across your chest, huge on it, you know, say, United Arab Emirates flights or whatever, you know, the different sponsors that they have. We'll never get to that.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, Joe. By the way, Daniel says there's regulations how big it can be. Teams have to stay within a certain size. Well, let me tell you, teams are using the maximum size that they can on some of these because they are very large. Some of them are smaller. He also said going to end up like NASCAR. See, that's my concern, right? Listen, I get it. The NHL is the smallest of the four sports, mostly because they suck at marketing, and that's their own darn problem. But, you know, you
Wonder
look
Bread.
At,
it should be Wonder Bread. That would be the sponsor.
Wonder Bread?
Yeah, like Talladega Nights, just big old Wonder Bread right on the chest.
Okay. Wonder Bread for the jersey ad for the Lightning. Okay. That's my concern, though. Dan, you kind of mentioned it. It'd end up like NASCAR, right? Like, so we started with, and I get it. You got to make money, but we started with, oh, it's just digital ads on the TV broadcast. Oh, it's just ads on the helmets. Oh, it's just one ad on the jersey. Where does it stop? They've constantly been adding ads all over the place, and the product continues to get worse. You cannot sit here and tell me that the digital dashboards look fantastic or the giant Jersey Mike's logo that sits in the middle of the ice when the puck's going across looks great. It doesn't. And my question is, where does it stop? I don't know. Thankfully, the Lightning have not gone too far, but how long does it last? Like you mentioned, with the change in ownership that could be coming in X amount of years.
Well, they've put logos in the ice for the team for as long as I could possibly remember, and they've then started putting logos under the ice for major sponsors as well. The fact that they're going digital isn't to me, a huge deal. It's just a different technology to be able to display the ads. And it is getting better. Like, there were, of course, in the first season, the dashers would disappear players' legs or, you know, do other weird stuff. But it's getting a lot better where it's, you know, almost seamless. And I don't think that it takes away from the sport. I don't think it takes away from the sport. Look, I don't look at the puck half the time when I'm watching a game. That's not where the action is, in my opinion, is watching just the puck. So if it disappears now and then, I don't even see it, but I mean it's enhancing the revenue for the leagues, which is going to enhance the product where you can pay players what available resources they have, and then it's inevitability with the way sports is going.
Well, I mean, you know, yes. Listen, money is good. Money is going to help build the game. But to me, there's just better way. Like, market your sport better. Market your sport better. Let's start there. Ads are not the only way to make money. By the way, if you're shocked here, Daniel disagrees with me. Me and Daniel just need to have a boxing match or something like that. He's always against me here. It doesn't affect the game at all. Extra dollars coming into the league, the better of it. I'm all for it personally. And listen, yes, the money coming into the league is a good thing. But again, where does it stop? And it doesn't affect the actual product of like what's happening on the ice. But to me, it just doesn't look good. Again, I don't enjoy sitting there watching the Lightning and having to watch a giant like that Jersey Mike's logo that they do on Bally. It's huge. Like, it's way too much. And it drives me crazy. And Joe, you mentioned the dashboards are getting better. I haven't really noticed that. I still think they're terrible. I still notice tons of problems with them. But listen, I'm a very, I guess, old school person, you can say, in the thinking of I don't like it and I'm not ready for the change. I get it. It's coming. A lot of teams are going with ads, and that's just the way it is, unless you're the NFL and you make tons and tons of money. But I don't like it. I hope it stays away for as long as humanly possible. But only time will tell, and there's nothing much that we can do about it except sit here and complain on this podcast. That's all we can do.
You're saying we, you're looping.
Just me. I'm the only one that always that doesn't like it. By the way, if you guys want to join the conversation here you see all these great comments from Daniel. We appreciate everybody that joins in. I had a couple other people too, as Beverly's always on here as well. If you guys want to join the conversation to talk, make sure you follow us at RBR Lightning, at RBLR Sports. Like and subscribe, all that fun stuff, so you don't miss out. Ring that bell for notifications so you don't miss out when we are going live. You can join us here. Throw some comments in there. If you want to disagree with me, just like Daniel does all the time, have at it. We'll have some fun to talk about that stuff. We do have one more thing to talk about here, and that this is on ice related. The Lightning have made a signing, and it is a PTO, a official tryout contract, to Logan Brown. And you may remember that name, and it's because the Lightning signed Logan Brown last year, but due to injuries, he never played a game last season. So the Lightning signed him to a PTO. Will he officially be on the team? We'll have to wait and see. But if you remember, Austin Watson was also signed to a PTO and ended up playing a pretty significant role for the Lightning last season. I don't know about you guys, but I'm excited to see how Logan Brown does here in the preseason and training camp. He was a guy that I was looking forward to having in the bottom six, thought he could maybe do something for the Lightning last year, and you know, we'll see how it plays out here, but I'm curious to see what he can do for the Lightning.
Yeah, I was kind of excited about him last year when we signed him. You know, he was a former top 10 pick, I think he was maybe 11th overall or something like that. Was it 11th overall?
2016 by Ottawa, 11th overall.
2016. So that is, you know, 8 years ago now. That first round pedigree, you know, quickly dwindles off. You know, he's had production, you know, with Ottawa. I think he played a little bit in St. Louis as well. But I still see potential there. He's a big guy with a really nice shot. You know, he'll probably, you know, end up on the AHL squad with the Crunch or something like that. And might be in a fill-in player kind of role or something if he excels down there, especially being, you know, a bigger-bodied guy like that too. You get an injury and you can plug him in the, you know, the bottom six, something like that. That's wishful thinking. You know, hopefully he can stay healthy. Hopefully he can impress at training camp. There's a reason why they, you know, signed him to a PTO instead of signing him to an actual deal. You know, he's unproven, that first-round pedigree. Like I was saying, you know, it goes away really quick. But hopefully, you know, he can make an impact there, impress the coaches, impress the executive staff there, and maybe get himself a two-way deal or something like that. I think that'd be cool. But hoping for the best for Logan Brown.
I honestly don't know much about him, but since we have been trending towards, you know, losing size, having someone 6'7" would be good if he could make the squad.
6'7".
You know, he's not someone that's going to break. Well, I hope he can be a big impact, but he's not someone that's going to, you know, jump off the page. But, you know, I think he can be a solid defensive guy, kind of that tough, gritty guy, which sometimes the Lightning need. And they've had for the last couple of years, but there's been a lot of changing players, almost like a revolving door there. So I'm excited to see what he does. And we've had players succeed on a PTO like Austin Watson. So we'll see. It doesn't solve our top six problem that I still think the Lightning have. Kind of as Beverly mentions here, I'm excited but still nervous about these lineups. Seem to have a lot of guys for training camp. Yes, there's definitely some out there, but I'm with you, Beverly. You know, like the top line, I don't know if they're going to go with this line, but the potential top line of Kucherov, Point, and Gensel. Can't talk right now. Gensel, thank you. You know, that's a great, great line. But I still think they need another piece for the top six. Although the way the signings have gone and the current cap space as it is right now, I don't know the exact number off the top of my head. I think the Lightning are sticking with this lineup for sure until the trade deadline, if they make a move there. That concerns me a little bit. Now, on paper does not mean everything, so we'll see how the on-ice product ends up happening once the season gets started.
Bounce back here.
Go for it. For who?
I was just saying bounce back here from Connor Sherry. You know,
Sherry's definitely the guy I was going to say too.
Really?
I mean, yeah, you got to look for a diamond in the rough in order to come up. And he has a history of being able to play with better players, so there's no reason why he can't have a bounce back here or someone else that we can find to be able to jump up in the lineup.
And he used to play with Jake Gensel too in Pittsburgh, so maybe there's a little bit of a chemistry that they can tap into there too.
You know what? That's a good point, Matt. You're absolutely right. And listen, when Connor Sherry was first brought over, I was big on him, as I've talked about before, as a potential top six guy. So if he could bounce back and fill that role in, that could be huge for the Lightning. And maybe we'll, you know, make him look a lot better than they do on paper. So, well, here's to Connor Sherry bouncing back and having a good year.
Yeah, and you got to think too. This is his contract, the final year of his contract, and if he doesn't produce, then he's gonna have a really tough time, I think, finding a home. Kind of like where Shattenkirk reestablished his ability to play hockey when he was here for the first cup run that we had. Connor Sherry has an opportunity to secure himself another good contract, and if he doesn't produce, then it's hard to have a guy that's as small as him come onto your team.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, I just saw this comment here from Daniel, and I apologize, Daniel, that I haven't gotten to it, and I promise I haven't looked it up at this point, but he said, can you tell me who's the sponsors for the helmet without looking it up? If you can't, then you can't complain about the jersey ads, it's TGH, the Tampa General Hospital. And yes, I promise I did not look that up. Listen, if there's one thing I know, it's the jersey ads, because I complain about them a lot. So Tampa General
Hospital. Wait, didn't we used to have Dex Imaging too?
Yeah, I think they were on the black ones, if I'm not mistaken. When they had the third jerseys, I think they made an appearance there for a little bit. But Tampa General Hospital was the main one and still is for the Lightning. But yes, okay. You're correct.
And I was wrong, thanks to the Beverly here correcting me, that he has a 3-year contract for Connor Sherry. It's not two, so he's not in his final year of it. I guess I was getting him confused with one of the other contracts that we have, but still want to see the guy perform to justify that salary.
Yeah, he's got 2 years left now, correct?
And next year, yeah.
Yeah, 2 years left. So hopefully he bounces back. We'll see how it all plays out. But hey, as we get closer and closer to training camp here, you know, maybe we'll see some guys pop up at a training camp that can maybe make a crack at the roster. Listen, the way the Lightning have had success for the last couple of years has been some guy that nobody knows about jumping up and making an impact early on in the season, whether it's been Ross Colton, whether it's been Nick Perbix, there's always been one guy. So guys, that's going to do it for us in this episode. Thank you so much all for tuning in with us live. Don't forget, you can follow us at RBR Lightning, at RBR Sports. Like and subscribe, ring that bell so you don't miss out on notifications. Hit that share button if you did enjoy this episode with your friends. It really helps us out, and we really do appreciate it. But for now, signing off here on RBR Lightning. We'll talk to you guys next time. And as always, go Bolts.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.